Hi, I'm Sam. Welcome to my podcast, Medical Musings with Sam. This is all about living with chronic illness and finding the best way possible to live a life of faith and hope despite our diseases. Chronic illness is a part of our lives. It doesn't need to be all of our lives. That's the hope I want to give you as I share my story of a life that was turned upside down due to the diagnosis of a rare bone disease in 2014. My life today resembles nothing of what it was before. I was an executive manager living in the rat race, and I love that role. Today, I'm still living a fulfilled life. Different, yes, but so rewarding. I'm a writer, I'm a blogger, and I help people through my online support forum, Medical Musings with Friends. And if life wasn't busy enough, I'm now a podcaster. So grab a cuppa, find a comfy chair, and together, let's find life can still be full of wonderful and special moments. Hi everyone, welcome back to Medical Musings with Sam. I promised that I would come back to give you a bit of an update on what was happening with me having a PET scan recently and other things that are happening in my world in terms of health. I've just written a blog post called Pausing to Ponder, and I was going to actually call this episode of the podcast Pausing to Ponder as well, because I've needed to just take a little step back to think things through. But there's also another phrase going through my head this morning, which is divide and conquer, which I'm also doing in order to, I guess, cope with a gamut of things that are just being thrown at me left, right, and center. So it's a bit of both today. It's about pausing to ponder and what that means, and then also about dividing and conquering and what that means in order for us to survive the many things that at stages in our lives seem to come as an avalanche towards us. So bear with me as we muddle through that kind of thinking, because I really am in that unpacking stage of dealing with changing circumstances in many regards, not just for myself, but for my husband as well. So we have, quite a few health challenges and life challenges to deal with. So I'm catching my breath with a cuppa, of course, to pause and ponder. And I hope that as I do this, that you will be able to look at the things that are happening in your own life and be able to pause and ponder with your cuppa, because that's essential, or whatever it is that you like to drink, as I always say. Just take some time out to step back from it all and just go, okay, this has happened, this is happening, and further things will happen, and I need to think them through in order to have the strength to cope, in order to have the clarity of thinking to make the right decisions for myself, despite what might be coming at me from different directions. All of those things are really important. So as I said, so much has been going on in recent months. There's been new diagnoses, there's been flares of old diagnoses. My husband's dealing with his own health battle, and on top of everything else, he ended up in hospital via ambulance, which was not expected, but he had this horrible pulsating going through his ear, and it wasn't like the normal tinnitus, and I never say that word right, so please forgive me, that you can get in your ears. It was like a heartbeat that was going through his entire body, and for him to say there's something wrong is there's something wrong. So he just wasn't himself at all. So I called an ambulance, he ended up getting admitted, and we're really grateful that he did, because we were waiting for him to see a general physician and a geriatrician, which wasn't going to happen until April, because we had some concerns about short-term memory loss and change in behaviour. And so that's what that appointment was going to be about. But the fact that this happened, he was then assessed with MRAs, so MRI angiograms and CT angiograms, and was a general physician was brought in for his care. So we've sped that process up, which is really great. So we do know that he has severe short-term memory loss, and we do know that we are looking at some form of early onset dementia. So we have a challenge, a big challenge, given my circumstances as well. And I guess the good thing is at the moment he's aware, he's very aware of his short-term memory loss in particular. And so we're having a few laughs about it as well, because some things are incredibly funny, while not so funny, but you know what I mean. Life is what it is, and you've got to be able to deal with circumstances as they come up in a way that is, I guess, particularly in a relationship, in a way that is supportive of each other. So there's a lot of caring having to take place from my perspective for him, and he still does a lot of caring for me from a physical perspective. So I guess I'm the brain on occasion, and he's the muscle, if you like. So so at the moment we're still working very well as a team, but yeah, it is putting a lot of pressure on day-to-day life, and it's added to medical expenses that were unforeseen. And so, you know, you have the whole financial stress, which I know everybody is experiencing to some degree at the moment. But yeah, it's none of that helps. So yes, there's lots to pause and ponder about. But as I said, I've been doing that, and I'm now ready to divide and conquer. So the hospital visit was not expected. I have to say, though, I was so supported by friends and neighbours who just rallied to help me with things that I couldn't physically do. So I was so, and just to ring and to let me know they're just two houses down the road or whatever it was, you know, it was just beautiful, and I felt really, really supported. So that was fantastic. And a dear friend who lives around the corner who took a whole heap of stuff into hospital for Peter because I couldn't get there, obviously. And it was just great. So we were very, very well looked after, and I felt very supportive. So it was nice to know if anything happens in the future that I have that support within this village and within the area that I live. So I was really grateful. Plus family who live interstate, but just were amazing, and overseas. But particularly my interstate family, my my step family, and my own family, my brother, were just fantastic, and just kept in touch and made sure that I was okay. And yeah, we just looked after the whole situation as best we could, supporting each other. So that was really lovely. So thank you, everybody who helped me out, and just friends who texted, and yeah, just beautiful, beautiful support from all those that are in my corner. So thank you so much. So that was that part of it. And then I had to have a PET scan, which I said in my previous podcast, because my hematologist just wanted to make sure that this low-grade lymphoma that's just niggling away wasn't becoming more aggressive than we thought, particularly because I have lost so much weight and continue to lose weight. So we just wanted to make sure that there wasn't anything too untoward there. So I had my hematologist appointment this week following that scan, and the scan didn't discover anything aggressive from a lymphoma perspective that needs any kind of treatment at this stage. So that's good. So we're on a watch and wait schedule. We are going to have more blood tests and whatever else in 6 months or sooner if symptoms go weird or I'm admitted to hospital for something else. He'll come in and just check things out as well. So that's nice. So we have a plan from that perspective. So when I think about divide and conquer, that's one where in essence it's conquered, and I can kind of divide that into a list of under control. And with my divide and conquer, that's what I've done. I've created in my mind, I probably should write it out, but in my mind I've got two lists. One that's under control, and things that need to be controlled. So that's how I'm doing it. So in terms of hematologist, low-grade lymphoma, under control. But he thinks that my diabetes is causing a multitude of the systemic issues, including this rapid unintentional weight loss. So I've lost 21 kilos in 8 months without trying. Even if I increase my calories, it doesn't make any difference. I'm on a high dose of prednisone, and I'm still losing weight, like a really high dose, and I'm still losing weight. So it just doesn't make sense. But it's, so everybody, not just him, but others as well, are thinking that it is the diabetes that's causing the weight loss, because the diabetes isn't yet under control. Now, I was hospitalized in November last year because I been diagnosed with diabetes and steroid induced. And interestingly, I was looking at an article yesterday from a diabetes association in Victoria, in Australia, and they were talking about the pattern of how diabetes works from a steroid induced perspective. And you wake up and your blood sugar is nice and normal and low. And mine is, it's fine. It's in the fives. It's not a problem. In fact, I can wake up sometimes in a hypo, so that's a bit of a problem, but it's five generally. And then it just starts to increase at a normal rate up until about lunchtime. So, you know, you're in that sort of seven mark. And then you go into the afternoon and it escalates. This is for steroid-induced diabetes. This is the pattern that they were talking about. But why I'm talking about it is because it's exactly what's happening with me. I've got the exact pattern. So in the afternoons, it can go as high as 12. And gee, I really feel it. And I can't stay awake. It's just awful. The kind of fatigue that hits you is just, you just like almost go into a coma. It's ridiculous. And you wake up, you feel awful, and it's just horrible. And then what happens is when you get to 10 o'clock at night, between 10 and 11, it starts to drop. And then overnight continues to drop until you get back to normal in the morning. And you know what? That's exactly what happens with me. I could not be more identical if I was, being paid to be. It's just ridiculous. So, and I'm on medication at the moment, but they say if you're over 12 that you need to be on insulin. So I was over 12 yesterday in the afternoon and I felt terrible. So anyway, I'm seeing my doctor next week, my GP, who's managing at the moment, but I probably need to find a new endocrinologist to get this under control properly. So that's another thing in the divide and conquer that I'm not conquered. So it needs to be under the unconquered section, so not in control, and we need to sort something out with that, because I think if I can get that under control, I'll feel better. It's not going to remove my pain, which is excruciating in my back at the moment with the way the nerves are being compressed, and I'm not dealing with the breakthrough pain at all. It just, the medication is fine when it first sort of kicks in, but you get that, you know, period of time in between taking your medication, and it's not stretching over that period of time once that half-life of your meds have been removed, so, or have finished. So I need to do something about that as well. So I see my pain management specialist in a few weeks, so that's something that I have some control over, in terms of I have a plan of what to do. So anyway, so that's where we're at with the diabetes. But many of you will remember a year ago I had a huge abdominal wall hernia, and my small bowel was involved, and it was a mess, an absolute mess. And my stoma was on the same side, and that also was herniated as a result. So I had major surgery to have that fixed and have my stoma moved from the left side to the right side. So that was a year ago. Unfortunately, 4 months after that surgery, that abdominal wall hernia happened again. So, and it's the same size, and it now has small bowel. Originally, it didn't have the small bowel in it, but it now does have some loops of the small bowel in it as well, small intestine. So, I am having difficulties in terms of partial obstructions, which are happening probably twice a week at least, but certainly I've got lots of inflammation and lots of pain. And if nothing else, everything is kind of backing up into that big, you know, hernia, and it's taking a while to pass through. So it just backs up basically. And you can imagine that causes swelling and pain and all the rest of it. So that's an issue, but the problem is they actually can't do any surgery. So because the tissue in the abdominal wall is just too thin now, so anything that they do just won't hold, and they don't want to put mesh in because I'm at too high risk of the mesh causing internal infection, and you know, that wouldn't be a happy ending. So I just have to try and manage that as best I can. And obviously, if I got a full obstruction, I have to go to hospital, and then we would have to do something. But it just is another added burden, I guess, and something that is constantly needing to be managed. And it's affecting not so much how much I eat, but what I eat. I've got to make sure that it's not too, I've got to make sure that I eat the right things that don't affect it further. So, I don't know how to do that, but it's just, it's still, you know, you're constantly having to think all these things through and not make mistakes. And it's a lot when there's a lot going on. It's not just one thing. So on top of that, I'm exhausted. And partly it's the pain as well, because I just can't stand now without holding on to some kind of support aid, because the spinal stenosis is just completely compressing the nerves through my lumbar spine, and, you know, it'll just teeter from one side to the other. So I could be doing something and all of a sudden I can't move, or the pain. And when I say I can't move, I physically can't move. I can't lift a leg through to push myself forward, even using a walker. And I have to wait for that to pass if it can, and, you know, get help from my husband to try and get to a chair or the bed or do something. It's just horrendous. Or I just literally can't stand. I just have to stop standing or stop trying to move sideways or whatever it might be if I'm in the kitchen, you know, and just I have to go and sit down. And I might have to do that for, you know, half an hour before the body will let me move again, or before the next lot of pain meds kick in. It's just such a, I never know what state I'm going to be in from 1 hour to the next. And that is difficult to live with. Not impossible. And I'm not doing a why me. That's the facts. I'm just presenting the facts. So how do we deal with these complex crossroads? Because I'm not the only one that has this situation. And while I might have a lot of different things going on, and there's even more than that, I've got to go and see an ENT as well, because there's stuff going on with my mouth. I have what they think is a burning mouth syndrome, but there's also lots of ulcers and things happening, and my parotid glands are all swollen, and my eyes aren't working properly, and my sinuses, I'm pretty sure I've got a sinus stone. Like, there's just so many different things going on with that as well. So that all needs sorting too. It will be. I'm seeing him in a couple of weeks. But so let's look at it. How do we deal with the complex crossroads? So living with chronic and complex diseases is not a life any of us would have chosen. And I think we're going to all agree on that point. In supportive group environments like my forum and other really lovely patient advocate groups, we often talk about acceptance helping us to cope, and it does. But acceptance takes time, doesn't it? And the path to it, it's complex in itself. We can also find ourselves at new crossroads, like I am at the moment, where the acceptance path, it just needs to start over, or it needs to take a completely new direction. I think, though, a good starting place on our acceptance journey is to do this whole pause and ponder thing, to ask ourselves a few initial questions. Now, I'm talking about chronic illness here, but this can be in relation to any kind of change in our lives that have made life really complex and difficult to navigate. So where I talk about disease, you can change those words to whatever your circumstance is. But the questions that I have needed to ask myself, and I encourage anybody with chronic illness to do the same thing. And again, if it's not chronic illness, change the word. Firstly, what is my disease? Do you understand it? Do you know what your disease is? Do you know what it does? You know, I thought I knew what diabetes did until I sat down and really researched it and went, oh my goodness, it does so much more to the body than I realized. And it has crossovers. So while we thought some of the things might be related to the lymphoma situation or even steroids, it actually are the same symptoms that diabetes presents. And given that I'm flaring like I am, and you look at my blood sugar levels, that makes perfect sense now. So understanding that disease was crucial in me being able to do this whole divide and conquer thing. So do you fully understand your disease? Even if you think you do you fully understand your disease? Ask yourself that question. Or do you even need to remind yourself about what your disease is? Because sometimes we've done all that research, and it might have been years ago, and we think we know, but we can forget things as well. With, you know, so much pain and so many symptoms that are exhausting, it's easy to just forget the work that we've done in the past in relation to researching our diseases. So how complex is your disease? And do you have multiple diagnoses? That's the next question, because sometimes we get so focused on our main disease because it's so overwhelming, we forget that there are secondary diseases or satellite diseases, if you like, and they are impacting you as well. So you need to go back and assess, okay, what else have I been diagnosed with? What might else be flaring that's causing this complexity of issues that I'm struggling with at the moment? So have a think about that as well. Ask yourself as well, is your disease acute? Is it chronic? Or is it terminal? If it's acute, it's going to get better. If it's chronic, you've got it for life. I'm really sorry. It might relapse. It might go into remission. It might, and that's whether it's benign or cancerous. You can still have remission even with benign things. But just, you know, it's going to be there. It's going to come and go. Or is it terminal? Is that something that you need to face? Is that something that you need help with? Do you need to put in place palliative plans? All of those things are really important, difficult things, but things that sometimes we need to face in order to prepare for the future, in order to divide and conquer. So does it even have a clear prognosis? Sometimes we don't know. Sometimes we don't know whether it's going to be acute, chronic, or terminal. And that's awful. That's a horrible place to live. And I've got things like that where you just do not know. So it's very hard to plan around those things. So you kind of, I guess, when that happens, probably need to plant it into a chronic situation so that you can work out how to live with it on a long-term basis is probably the best way of dealing with that one. And then given all the above, what restrictions does the disease or do the diseases enforce on your life now, and what will they enforce later? And it's important to actually really think about those restrictions, because you need to plan out, if I'm restricted in this area, what can I do to relieve that restriction? Now, you might not be able to personally relieve that restriction, but perhaps you can get someone in to help you do that. It's those kind of things that you need to start thinking about. Or it might be something that you can do to relieve the restriction. Just planning your day differently, for example, might actually do that. And that's something that I have to do. I have to plan my day around my pain meds. So I can record this at the moment because I've just taken two of my more bulkier pain meds. And I know that I've got the strength and the ability to do this. But what am I putting off? I'm actually putting off getting dressed for the morning because I wanted to do this instead, because this is important to me. And if I don't do it now, I know that with what I've got over the next the rest of the day and the next couple of days, I'm not going to get it done. So it's those kind of things that you need to say, okay, well, I need to sacrifice that in order to do this because this is my priority and I'm going to feel like I've really achieved something if I do this. So what's next? So what changes do I need to make to my life? Which is very similar to, what restrictions do you have, and looking at those restrictions, and then you go into what changes do you need to make in your life in order to manage those restrictions. And when you know what those changes are, sometimes knowing what the changes are, but then it's about, don't just leave it there, be quite specific in how will you implement those changes. So knowing what they are is one thing, but having a plan of implementation is quite another. So make sure you work out an action plan. Write down what those changes are, and then next to each of the categories, make sure that you have an action plan. So my change was today I wanted to do a podcast. How was I going to implement that? I needed to make sure that my pain meds were in at a particular time, and I needed to ensure that I wasn't trying to do another task at the same time or squeeze two tasks together, otherwise I wouldn't get this task done. It can be as minor as that, or it might be on a bigger scale in It might be you've got to sell your home or whatever it might be in order to make really huge lifestyle changes. So, as I said, it can be something really small up to something really big, but that depends on each of our circumstances. And then you need to ask yourself as well, do I need help with that? So remember, that's really important, because if you need help, then that will change perhaps the timing of how you can make changes, but also you need to think about who can deliver that help. If you have government funding through disability packages, then hopefully you can get carers in. If not, you may have family members that can help, or you can reach out to other organisations, church groups, etc., that might be able to provide some assistance to you as well. But that's really important, okay? So please make sure that you get the help that you need. You know, it took me 2 years to arrive at a true level of acceptance with what was going on. And even then, there wasn't anywhere near as much going on then as there is now, because my health became more complex. You know, overnight the bone disease entered my life with that pathological femur break. And then thankfully though, by that stage I had made monumental changes to how I live. So I was able to reach a new level of acceptance quite quickly. It was though, and still is, hard not to focus on what on earth is my body going to throw at me next. It's really hard not to have that thought keep going through my head, because I feel like at every turn there is a new issue of some description. But you know what? I can't control incurable diseases that have got unknown causes. I just can't. And I can choose to focus on what will bring me joy each day and what I can do to feel connected and have real purpose on a daily basis. That I can choose to do. That's going to be different though for each of us. But I think the key question, once you arrive at some level of acceptance, and it doesn't have to be total acceptance, but some level, is to ask yourself a particular question. And this question is going to help you with the acceptance journey, for want of a better word. And the question is, what gives me a sense of purpose, and what can I do within my limits that will open new opportunities and give me a reason to smile each day and focus on what could go right instead of what could go wrong? So I'm just going to read that question to you again. So what gives me a sense of purpose, and what can I do within my limits that will open new opportunities and give me a reason to smile each day and to focus on what could go right instead of focusing on what could go wrong? Well, I think that's a pretty good question to ponder, to pause and ponder over a cuppa. So I hope, if you haven't already made one, that maybe you'll go and make one now and turn me off so you're hearing my voice in your head, and just sit quietly and pause and ponder and then divide and conquer. And together we might actually work this thing out. What do you reckon? I certainly hope so. And I really, if you are going through a very similar situation, my heart goes out to you. And if you want to ask me anything, you can direct message me. You can ask questions on the podcast. There's a comment section on the podcast apps where you can send me a comment, particularly on Spotify, and we can have a discussion there. But you can certainly direct message me, and I would be more than happy to have a chat with you. But please look after yourselves, and please know that you are not alone, and that chronic illness is a part of our life, but it's not all of our lives, and we need to ensure that we retain something of who we are in the midst of all this, and that when we create new opportunities and we find new purpose, that it reflects something of our old, but lots of what can be new and exciting and different, using skills that we've had in the past, but making them, I guess what I'm trying to say, more suitable to our current circumstances. And you know I've done that in terms of coaching and training and writing and leading, which was my whole world. And I've transformed it into something different, a blog, a book, a podcast, volunteering for Arthritis Queensland, those kind of things where I can use my skills in a different way and still feel like I'm contributing, because I think that's really important. We need to feel that we are contributing to something, or we are creating even. For some people, my skill set is not your skill set, and you would prefer to be creative and quietly do that and make beautiful art or paintings or whatever it might be, but it's still offering the world something when you share that, and it's certainly feeding your own soul, and that's really, really important when so much is taken from us when we are dealing with very difficult chronic illness situations. So please look after yourselves. I hope this podcast has helped you. I hope it's given you a bit of an update, like I promised as well, in terms of my PET scan and what's happening with my health and my husband's health. And I will try and podcast as much as I possibly can. But as you can imagine, life's a little bit tricky at the moment. So it might be a few weeks, if not into late next month, before another podcast comes out. But I will be blogging, and I'm still trying to blog once a week. So please, if you would like to know what's going on and keep in touch with me, my blog is there, and you can get at least weekly blogs at My Medical Musings, and it's www.mymedmusings.com. And so www.mymedmusings.com. You'd think I'd know that off by heart by now, wouldn't you? There you go. But that link will also be in the podcast description as well. So thanks for listening, everybody. Please take care. I hope you have a really lovely day, weekend, whatever it might be when you're listening to this. It's Saturday as I'm recording it, so it's the weekend. Love you all. Talk really soon. Bye. If you enjoyed what you heard today, you can subscribe to this podcast, or you can leave a review. I would really appreciate your support. If you would like to have more of My Medical Musings in your world on a regular basis, I also have a blog which you can find at www.mymedmusings.com. I post there at least weekly, so there's lots for you to read and be involved with. If you would really like to be a part of a nurturing community, Medical Musings with Friends is a private support group on Facebook, offering the hand of friendship, support, true care and understanding to anyone living with chronic illness. We would love to welcome you into our community. Just search Medical Musings with Friends on Facebook, click join, and you will receive the warmest of welcomes. I also have a book, My Medical Musings, a story of love, laughter, faith and hope living with a rare disease. It's available now through Amazon and my publisher, Imagine We Publishers. I would love for you to check it out. There's something in the My Medical Musings world for everyone, something different to suit your needs. I hope you do find something that resonates with you and helps you feel you are not alone. Because you're not. Remember, chronic illness is a part of your life, not all of your life. Take care.